morning, Evanston. I'm Tina.
And I'm Keith, spinning on the radio dials, and we're taking your calls today, answering your sports questions, so dial in now.
What? Whoa, whoa, what?
That's right, folks. Call in today. We want to know what you're thinking.
What are you doing?
I just thought we'd mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Let's just let the people know what's going on.
All right. We're glad you're here with us this morning, and these handsome gentlemen coming down the aisles are ushers, and they're here to take up your offerings this morning.
So while they do that, we wanted to let you know that if it's your first time with us this morning, or you've been coming for years, there's a place for you here at Evanston.
And Daniel's back to tell us how you can get connected here at Evanston. And we have Bob from Lickskilla, Alabama on the line. Go ahead, Bob. We're listening.
Well, hello there, Keith. This is Bob from Lickskilla, Alabama. Long time listener, first time caller. Listen, I wanted to know what you thought about the local sports team up there in Muncie, Michigan.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. For the adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners. That'll be the last Sunday of every month. We also have our men's golf and our ladies' meetings. We also have a lot of volunteer opportunities available, so please talk to us about those if you're interested. If you're like me and can't remember these dates after the sermon, then check out the website. It's got all of our events and dates on there. So no matter where you're at in your journey, there's something for you.
Hey, Keith.
What?
Where's the bulletin?
Don't worry. Got you covered.
Awesome. Thanks. If I didn't have my bulletin, I wouldn't know what's going on this week or have my connection card.
It's okay, but...
No, you don't understand. I use that card to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact me.
It's okay, now you have it, so why don't you fill it out, take a few deep breaths, and then leave it on the pew when you're done. You as well. But also remember, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
That's right. The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We post some pretty interesting articles and resources there a couple times a week, so you are definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but first there are a few more things to share with you.
Bible Times Club and Hype are back.
Hype is for youth in 6th through 12th grade, and they meet upstairs for engaging activities and worship.
And Bible Times Club is our Sunday night program for kids 5th grade and below, with Bible lessons, games, and activities.
So bring your kids out for some great Bible teaching and activities at their level. Sunday nights at 6.
We're looking for volunteers to get involved with either Hype or Bible Times Club. So if you're interested, please see Joy or Darren to get more information.
Finally, in October, we will be having baptisms. So if you are interested in being baptized, please talk to Pastor Matt.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you. Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, Break Open the Sky, with his sermon on stillness and prayer.
I wonder what happened to Bob from Lickskilla.
I don't know, but here's Pastor Matt.
Shall we go? Sure.
A long time. Do y'all even play football up there? I wasn't sure if you played football or if you played some sort of soccer or something like that. But anyhow, the other day I was talking to my friend Bill. Over at the cannery, and hello.
Well, it's good to know we can have a call-in service. So, well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. As our ushers come forward, we're going to pray for our offering. We're going to pray for our service, of course, and as we open God's Word together, I want to invite you guys to grab a Bible. We're going to be in the book of Psalms today, just to get things rolling, but let me pray for our offering. Let me pray for the time in the Word together. Father, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We recognize that everything we have is indeed something that came from you, Lord. We recognize that you are a generous God who loves us and blesses us in so many rich and wonderful ways. So, Father, as we give back to you a small portion of what you have given to us, We ask that it's received as an act of worship and receive it in the spirit with which it is given. Father, we ask that you would take what we have given and use it to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we thank you for the love that you have for us, a love that wants to communicate with us and so we can know you better. Father, open our hearts so that we may receive your word. Father, as the pastor, if there's any word that is not from you, I pray that it falls to the ground. And Father, every word that comes from you, I pray that it will take root in our hearts and transform our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, like I said, we're going to be in the book of Psalms. We're going to do a little bit of a change up because we are going to talk about stillness and silence and prayer. We need to get to that. We're going to start with a little bit of a different topic today. Before we get to that, though, I need to give you guys a bit of an update. So this is kind of some pre-sermon material. Let me flip in my Bible to the right page. Wanted to give you guys this information. I know that this is not the best environment to entertain questions despite our reference to the call-in talk show. So you're welcome to grab me afterwards if you have anything. At our last quarterly business meeting, though, we had mentioned that another church from our conference had approached us to talk about possibly merging with us. And of course, that sparked a whole bunch of people to freak out just a little bit. Oh, what's that going to mean? And all we had was the information we gave, which is they asked us, would we be willing to consider that? So thank you guys for not freaking out too badly, because I know that can spark off a lot of anxieties in us. But we did meet with our leadership team, with their leadership team yesterday morning, and part of that conversation we wanted to share with you guys. Not that the rest of it's like off limits, it's just we can't remember all of it because we said a lot of things, and most of it's not that interesting. But so here's the official update for us. We met with the leadership from Grace Memorial Baptist. They're sharing this with their congregation this morning. So let me start with saying we have not made any decisions to merge or to not merge. This literally was the first conversation that we had. That conversation went well, and so our next step, I guess, for us as a leadership team is we're going to be sitting down, we're going to take myself and their pastor and the chairman of our elder boards and our financial guys, so Darren and Jonathan and me, we're going to sit down with the pastor and the chairman of the board and the finance guy from Grace, and we're going to have a meeting with Gary Rohrmeyer and Brian Moak from Converge Mid-America. You know, they're the executive minister and the vice president of our conference that we're a part of, and we just want to say, hey, you know, our conversation went well, but none of us have ever done anything like this, and so we want you to give us sort of an objective idea if this is even worth considering. So we have not made any decisions. The conversation went well, and we're going to have at least another set of eyeballs putting input into this process to see if it's worth considering. So that's the update. We don't know when that meeting with Gary and Brian is going to take place. I'm going to be talking to them tomorrow. I hope to have that done before our next quarterly business meeting in October so I can let you guys know what's coming up. And I realize that even talking about this, people are like, what does this mean? What's it going to mean for us? Well, let me just say this. The gospel message will continue to always go forward. Amen? Evanston Avenue Baptist will be a part of that process. What that means for our sister church coming over here or not, that's yet to be determined. But the one thing I stress to the group is we're going to keep the vision front and center. And the vision that all of our churches have is there are people who don't know Jesus. If Jesus comes back today, a lot of people are going to go to hell. Hell is hot, eternity is really long, and we don't want anyone to go there. So our job as a church, until we figure out what's up with Grace and us and anything else along those lines, our mission remains the same. Tell people about Jesus. Okay, so we're going to keep doing that. We will keep you updated as more conversations take place. And again, this is the part for me that's exciting and sad. The sad part is none of us as pastors or leaders know how to do this. Because historically, Christians are better at splitting. This is an opportunity for us to come back together. And it's exciting for that reason, and I don't even know if it's going to happen or not, but so just please be praying. If you have any questions, if there's anything you're worried about, you now have the sum total of information that I have that I can possibly share with you. We know there's a lot of things that would need to be figured out if that were to work. We don't even know if we're doing it, but that's where we're at. So please come and talk to me. Shoot me an email. Send me a phone call. If you have any questions beyond what I've shared here, I will answer them to the best of my abilities. And a lot of the answer is going to be, we don't know yet, but we're going to talk about it. So on the other side of it, all I can say is we're not in any rush. We're not going to do this by the end of the year or next week. Or there's no rush. We're going to take our time. If this is a good idea, we'll do it right. If it's not a good idea, God bless, and we will trust that God has great things in store for Grace and great things in store for us. We'll just encounter them separately. Cool beans? Okay. Big breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, we're good. Changing gears. We want to talk about prayer a little bit more, the idea of breaking open the sky. It comes from a Toby Mac song about reaching out to God and just watching God, you know, from heaven intervening in our life. And that's ultimately what we want prayer to be, is this interaction that we have with God that changes the world around us, starting with us. Now, as a Christian, I got to tell you, and even as a pastor, one of the most daunting things in all of the Christian faith for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, one of the most daunting things in the standard that I repeatedly feel like I'm missing completely, like just not even close, would be this one. God's word teaches us to pray without ceasing. I don't know how to do that, because occasionally I need to sleep, and occasionally I'm driving, and apparently closing your eyes while driving can be a bit of a hazard to other drivers. So, you know, but again, even all joking aside, you know, how do we pray without ceasing? And as I think through that, I know I need to pray a lot and pray more and pray in all situations. And I know I can keep my eyes open when I'm driving and praying, and I do that. If you honestly want to not look like you're crazy while you're praying and driving, get one of those earpiece things, and people will just assume you're on the phone. They have no idea that, you know, the call is a little more long distance than they might anticipate. But just, you know, hey, I'm just talking to Jesus, and if he answers, that's cool too. But how do we do this? You know, how do we pray without ceasing? And I've talked to a lot of Christians at various stages in their life where they say, I don't always know what to say when I am in prayer. And I've been in retreat settings and at other events where it would not be uncommon for people to say, why don't you individually go by yourself and spend the next hour doing nothing but praying? Don't read scripture, don't sing songs, just pray for the next 60 minutes. For some of us, that's going to be a really scary thing. Like, what do I say? I feel like I'm going to run out of content or just get really tired. And I encourage you, try it sometime. Try to pray for an hour straight. It is exhausting. And that's just an hour. So how am I supposed to pray without ceasing? I was talking to a missionary friend, and he shed some light on this for me about one of the reasons, not probably the only reason, but one of the reasons for us as American Christians that makes it difficult for us to pray is we miss some of what prayer is supposed to be. We get it right when we come in and we pray. It's not that we're doing it wrong, it's just we kind of sometimes miss part of it. So I want to illustrate that this way. Hopefully we're familiar with this. This is, we call it the Lord's Prayer. And again, I shared with you guys last week, it's technically the prayer that the Lord taught us. It's a pattern that we're supposed to follow. Because Jesus could never pray the section of forgive us for our trespasses or forgive us for our sins. But again, this is the prayer that most of us as Christians around the world, different denominations, we would all say this is a prayer that unites us. You know, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom. You know, we're familiar with these words. And my missionary friend was pointing out to us that as Americans, though, if you look at our prayer life, like if you just think through the last time you spent a time in prayer, what you prayed about. For many of us, and I know for me, this is just my honest, you know, confession for you guys, I spend most of my time kind of right here. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Forgive those who sin against us. Lead me away from temptation. Deliver me from the evil ones. And if I just look at the amount of time that I spend in prayer, and I don't like time it, you know, but when I look back on it, I realize I spend the bulk of my time with personal needs, requests for others, and dealing with sin issues. That's where I spend the bulk of my time. I pray for you guys. I pray for you guys every day. I pray for me, because I need it. I pray for my family, because they're stuck with me. We just pray, and I spend a lot of my time on the requests and personal needs. Okay? And that's not a bad thing. God commands us. This is why it's in the Lord's Prayer, is he wants us, as a loving Father, God wants us to bring our personal needs and requests to him. And that's one of the greatest joys we have, is praying for ourselves, praying for others, like what we were talking about last week with intercession, where we pray for one another. We trust that God's going to use us as part of the answer. But a lot of times, as Americans, and when I listen to people pray, we spend the bulk of our time here with personal needs and requests, and that's great. I also think that's why it can be really draining and kind of tough to pray a lot, because eventually, if your memory is like mine, you just can't think of things anymore. You kind of run out of gas. It's like, and you start getting real generic. Like, Lord, help the people who have stuff that's bad, happening in their life. And other people who have other bad stuff. We can run out of content. My missionary friend said it's different, though. If you go over to some other parts of the world, they focus a little differently in prayer. And we need all of it. It's not like one's good and one's bad. It's just our focus as Americans tends to be personal needs and requests. Around the world, it tends to be a little different. We kind of bring our concerns to one another. One more, please. Around the world, there's a greater emphasis on these parts of the Lord's Prayer. Because the Lord's Prayer, it opens with, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." That is rejoicing and worshiping who God is. And it ends with, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen." The rest of the world will spend a greater portion of their time worshiping God, rejoicing in who he is. And that's what I want to talk about with you guys this morning is don't ever stop the request part of our prayer. Don't ever skip the middle, give us our daily bread stuff. We got to pray about that. But what I want us to kind of lean into this morning is, how can we get better? How can we grow deeper in the rejoicing and worshiping part of our prayer? So it's not just a laundry list. We want our prayers to kind of be that celebration and the worshiping of who God is. So can we grow that together as a church? Can we just get better at worshiping God in our prayer life? Would that be okay? Amen. Okay. Awesome. Then we're in the right place. I want you guys to join me in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We're just going to do the first couple of verses, and I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to read it. The Bibles that we have in our pews, the Bible I normally preach from is the NIV, the New International Version. I'm going to read these verses from our normal Bible, but I'm actually going to be preaching from a different version. I'll put it up on the screen. You'll be able to see it. We'll get to that one in just a second. Go back one. Sorry. Peekaboo, there it was. But I want to read it from the NIV so it's always consistent. And then you'll see why when I go through the other one, I feel the other version is a little closer to what the original text would say. But let me do this. So Psalm 34, at the beginning in most of your Bibles, there's going to be like an introduction. That's not really one of the verses. That's actually in Scripture. And it says this, it's of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. That's just kind of setting the scene. King David wrote this psalm, and there's a reference to it's 1 Samuel 21, where that event actually took place. But this is what he says. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I have sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Great stuff. Awesome stuff in prayer. And so, Jackson, go ahead and put up the next one. Again, this is from the New Revised Standard, which, again, very, very similar. But the wording here is a little bit closer to the original text, where it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Again, very similar. You can see it's the same text, but I just think the word choice here is a little bit closer, and that's what I want to dwell on, because in these four verses, it's going to give us four ways that we can be worshiping and rejoicing about God in our prayer life. Four ways. And the first one is this. The first one is simply this. It says, bless the Lord. That was the beginning of that passage where it says, bless the Lord. In your NIV, it says, I will extol the Lord at all times. Okay? Nothing wrong with that choice of words. But the idea of blessing the Lord, though, is a little bit different. Because if you read the pages of Scripture, you'll discover that there's all sorts of people who are being blessed at all sorts of different times. But here's the thing, and here's why I want us to focus in on, I'm blessing the Lord when I pray. It's a little bit different, and here's the distinction. Anytime you see a blessing, one of two things is happening. A superior, like a king or a father, is blessing a subordinate. So God, the ultimate superior, amen, blesses us. It is a gift to us. A blessing is a gift from a superior to a subordinate. I can't bless God that way. Amen? I am the subordinate. I am the creation. I cannot bless the Lord that way. But the other type of blessing is a little bit different. Two people who are equal can also bless one another. And so you will see, for example, in the book of Genesis, there's this weird character named Melchizedek. He only shows up twice in Scripture. And he's a priest. He's kind of weird. And you see this moment where Abraham is coming in as a prominent man. And here's this other prominent man, Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and Abraham blesses him back. And so a blessing is also a gift of some kind that's given between equals. Well, guess what? I can't do that either. You know, because I am creation and God is creator, so I can't bless him as a superior, not even close. But I can't even bless God as an equal because I'm creation and he's God. And so I just want us to see that when we read, bless the Lord, O my soul, that, my friends, is a gesture of God's grace. Where the creator of the universe, the magnificent one, the one who sits upon the throne that's encircled with the emerald rainbow on the sea of glass and all the beautiful images we see in Revelation, that God is saying, I will accept from you a blessing. He is the creator, he is the ruler, he is the king of kings, and he is saying to us, even though we are creation, even though we are subordinate, even though we are broken and sinful and selfish and all those things that are part of our humanity, God will receive from us a blessing. God will accept the gift of our praise. And when we come in here and we do what we just did, when we sing, when we make music to the Lord, that is one of the ways that we bless the Lord. Where we say to God, God, here's what you are worth to me. That's how we bless God. We tell him, we give him the gift of saying, here's what you are worth to me. Because when Melchizedek blessed Abraham, what he was saying is, Abraham, this is what you are worth to me. When we worship God, we're telling him, here's what I think you're worth. That should cause all of us to shudder just a little bit, shouldn't it? Because how many times do we step into worship and we wind up saying, I don't want to be here. I want to be in bed. And I want to... And I'm quoting. And I'm, yeah, that's just me sometimes, you know. But what I'm ultimately saying to God is, God, you're not worth a whole lot to me today. I'm not doing a good job of blessing God in that moment. Because worship is about that. Worship is about me giving to God the gift of saying, this is what you're worth to me. And the reality of it is, God is worth my life. God is worth the very breath in my lungs. He's worth every penny in my bank account. There's not many there, but he's worth more than that, actually. God is worth everything. And I bless his name when I tell him that. And so, my friends, when we're in prayer, one of the things we can do is we can say, God, I know that you are the creator, and I'm not anywhere close to being an equal with you, but I bless you, Father in heaven. You are worth my life. You are worth everything because you are so good. That is what it means to bless the Lord, O my soul. God is receiving our worship as an act of grace. What an opportunity we have. None of us could walk up to the president of any country and just say, I just want to tell you something, Mr. President. Here's what I think you're worth. Now, I know for some of us, depending on our political orientation, that conversation could go very differently. Mm-hmm. But we can't just walk up and say, Mr. President, here's what I think you're worth. No way. But for us, as his dearly beloved children, at any point in time, we can pause and we can say, my God in heaven, Father, this is what you're worth to me. This is what I think of you. And he will listen and he will be attentive and he will be there saying, I love you so very much. Thank you. And then we get blessed in return. It's so weird. It's awesome. I will bless the Lord at all times. As you are sitting here, there is some reason for you to say, God, here's what you're worth to me. It's cool stuff. The second thing we read, though, is that we boast in the Lord. And I always love putting up the peacock because that's always kind of the symbol of somebody boasting. Look at me. We think of boasting as a horrible thing, isn't it? Like if anyone's boasting, it's kind of like, look at me, look at my pretty feathers. Yes. And we look at that and we say, how am I supposed to boast in the Lord? Boasting is not a good thing. Well, oftentimes it's not, but here's why. What we normally call boasting is me making me famous. Part of the reason why people who boast drive us nuts is because we're lifting ourselves up and saying, look at how great I am. Think of the classic one with Muhammad Ali. I am the greatest. Not really, but thanks for trying. And we look at that and say, man, how boastful is that of him? He is making himself famous. But my friends, when we are boasting in the Lord, I want to frame that in a little bit of a different way. Boasting in the Lord simply means that we are making him famous. When you pray, you have the opportunity, even though nobody else is in the car with you except him, or the shower, or wherever you pray, you have the opportunity to make him famous. How do I do that? Well, when somebody boasts about themselves, what are they doing? When Muhammad Ali said, I am the greatest, what was he saying? I'm the best boxer, I can knock people out, blah, blah, blah. The way that we boast, the way that we make somebody famous, is we start listing the things that they've done and the things that they are doing. When someone's a celebrity and we say, they're famous, look at the movies that they've been in, look at the TV shows that they've done, look at the music that they've made. We start listing it. My wife affirms on a regular basis that I'm a geek. Because when I'm watching a TV show, I can usually spot an actor and recognize what movie or TV show they were in previously. I was watching a training video not so long ago, and it had a doctor in it. And I'm seriously texting her going, hun, here's my geekiness showing. The doctor in this video was a side character in The West Wing, Season 3, Episode 1. He played the guy from Michigan. She's like, you are such a nerd. I'm like, I know, I can't help it. But I could go to that actor's website and I could see, here's all of the TV shows that this person has been on. That's how we make people famous. So if you want to make God famous in your prayer life, one way that you can do that is just start listing, here's the things that you've done, Lord. And yes, the big ones, absolutely. You have sent Jesus to live and die and rise again. But look at what you've done in my life. You've given me a beautiful wife that I do not deserve. You've given me amazing children. Well, they're amazing most of the time, but they're awesome, Lord, and I love them. You've given me the opportunity to serve you. These are all things that you've done. And as we make God famous, it's a matter of just saying, Lord, here are the things that you have done in my life. And I'm pointing to you saying, you're the one that has made them happen. And when we do that, we just have this natural tendency to make God famous in our prayers. And guess what, my friends? If you're making God famous in your prayers, it's a lot easier to make him famous to someone else. I worked with a gentleman once back in the day when I sold life insurance, and his comment about God is that he was a sadistic expletive. Like, okay. And I know this guy's story. I know why he thought my God was sadistic in his life. And if I didn't have a close relationship with God, it would have been very easy for me to agree with him. Yeah, it sure seems like God is mean and cruel to you. But my friends, I know what God has done in my life. I know what God has done in other people's lives. I've been able to see God made famous in some spectacular ways. And when I'm aware of the things that God has done, it makes it easier for me to say, yeah, I know that that thing in your life was horrible, and I'm sorry you had to go through that. That had to be so hard for you. But I also see what my God has done in this person's life, in that person's life, in this person's life, and in my life. And that's, if you're going to talk about the bad things that have happened, you got to look at this stuff too. When I make God famous in my prayers by listing the things that are awesome that he has done, it makes it so much easier for me to make God famous to someone else. Boasting in the Lord means making Jesus famous. The third thing we see, this is the one that I love. Magnify the Lord. How do I do that? He's infinite. You can't get bigger than that. And actually, it was Rick Warren who had a great insight about this. So, you know, the fun thing about magnification is it doesn't make the thing bigger. It makes your understanding of the thing bigger. You know, I can't make an elephant any bigger than he is, but when I zoom in with the magnifying glass, I can learn something new about him. There's a gentleman I know, his name is Earl. He might be dead now. I haven't talked to him in about 10 years, and he was an elderly gentleman when I met him. He did a prayer ministry. And his prayer ministry was so unusual. I'd never heard of anyone doing this before. But his prayer ministry was they would do prayer journeys. And when I've done a prayer journey, it's usually like around a sanctuary. Like, I'm going to put a station here and a station there, and you're going to pray for this here and pray for that there. He would do like 14-day prayer journeys with people. I'm like, tell me about that. And he's like, well, the last one we did, this was back in the early 2000s, the last one we did was a group of six of us. We spent 14 days, and we journeyed the Lewis and Clark Trail. I'm like, the whole thing? He's like, yeah, the whole thing. Because God had laid it on his heart how Europeans had mistreated Native Americans. Okay? And so they wanted to pray and just pray for all the First Nations peoples, you know, who still struggled to this day with alcoholism and some of the effects of our arrival. He's like, that was just on our hearts, so we devoted 2 weeks of our life to praying about that. I'm like, wow. I think I prayed for that for about 3 minutes once. And you did 14 days. So I'm like, tell me more. Tell me, like, how do you do this prayer journey? He's like, well, we get up at 5 a.m., we have a granola bar for breakfast or something along those lines, and then we start praying. And we drive from where we are. We have appointed, you know, these are the stops along the way. And the entire time we're driving, we are praying out loud to God the entire time. And we usually drive for an hour or 2 hours praying the entire time. We stop, we get out, we pray for, like, you know, this is the stop on the trail or whatever. We pray for that for several hours. We get in the car, we continue praying out loud for another hour or two till we get to the next destination. We get out and pray until God, we feel like God is saying it's okay to move on. Then we pray some more. And so basically what they do is for 12 to 16 hours a day, they pray out loud, nonstop. And occasionally somebody will just start quoting scripture, and then they'll start quoting scripture back and forth to each other. Or somebody will break into song, and they'll add their own verses to songs. But they just spend the entire time in prayer and worship. And I'm going, that just sounds exhausting. And I said, let me ask a very silly, very selfish, human, fleshly question. How do you not run out of things to talk about? Like, how do you not run out of prayer content? You know, when they hand me my microphone, they say, you have 16 hours to preach. I'm pretty sure I'd run out by then. I like to talk, but I don't think I can make it for 16 hours. And he said something really interesting. He said, before anyone can go on a prayer journey, they have to devote several months to study. They have to read about God and who He is. Books like Knowing God by J.I. Packer and other books like that. They have to study Scripture together. They have to study, study, study about God, about who He is, His character, His actions, everything that makes Him famous, so that when they spend these 14 days, they can pick one element of God, His holiness, and pray about it for 2 hours, because all of them have studied the holiness of God for days. So my friends, if you want to magnify God in prayer, we need to be students of who God is. Reading His Word, knowing who He is better. So when we're in prayer, I can say, God, You are good. And I know what it means that God is good. He is moral. He is upright. He is pure. There is no sin anywhere in Him. And I can point to the Scriptures that make this true, that indicate it. Magnifying God means we zoom in on one aspect of God's nature, and that's what we pray about. God is our Heavenly Father. That means different things to us depending on who our Father was on earth. But as I study the fatherliness of God, I can magnify Him more in that area. Because my friends, here's what happens. When I get used to magnifying the attributes of God, I can't help it. When I start magnifying the attributes of God, it just flows out of me where I have to tell people about how great God is. I want to play a video clip. It's about 2.5 minutes, and it's just an example. It's a real-life example. It's an audio clip that's real, the images they put on later just for the video. But it's just an example of three guys who were just blown away by some of the attributes of God, and they had to share it. Can we play that clip?
Now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day.
God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
That was on Christmas Eve, and Apollo 8 broadcast that. And I just love that example because it would be so easy for a human being to say, isn't this great? Look at what we've accomplished. We're orbiting the moon. Our technology is awesome. Our science is spectacular. The view here is amazing. Look at what we have done. But as they were coming over the moon and saw the glory of God's earth, they said, we need to tell people, God did it. Let's magnify the Lord today because of his creation that he has made so spectacular. And they zoomed in on just that one piece of God's creation and broadcast to the world and to the universe, my God made the world. My friends, let us be people who magnify the Lord in prayer. And the final step that we see in David's psalm is this: seek the Lord, to seek after him. We know that, and hopefully this message is a way for you to do that more, to make God famous, to seek his glory, to seek, you know, the ways to magnify him. But I want to put this in front of us so we don't miss it. Remember the introduction to this psalm. We talked about this in Life Group a little bit this week. The beginning of the psalm says that this psalm was written after David lied. He pretended to be insane so that a Philistine king would not kill him and would kick him out of his city, which is what happened. He let spit drool down his beard, and he started clawing the doors, and the king is like, don't I have enough madmen here? Are you bringing me more? I don't need any more. Get him out of here. My friends, that was a lie. That was a sin that David committed. You know, we had the discussion, would you be able to trust God in that or not? And that's a huge conversation that we had. It was fun. But here's the thing I want us to take away. After that moment, after a moment of sinfulness, after a moment of deception, David's response was, I will bless the Lord. I will make my God famous. I will magnify the Lord. I will seek after him. And I bring that up because I know for many of us as Christians, when we become aware of the sinfulness in our life, it is so easy for us to feel shame, to feel guilt, and to feel like we need to pull away from the God who loves us so very much. My friends, can I tell you just the opposite is true? When we become aware of our sin, when we become aware of the ways that we have failed to keep God's will and his law, that, my friends, is the time when we need to bless the Lord all the more. That is the time we need to magnify him all the more. And for me, it looks something like this. God, you are great because I do not deserve your love. But I know that I have it. And I'm going to magnify your love today because that's the only hope that I have. I will praise the Lord. I will bless his name at all times, unceasingly, because God is good even when I am not. And so I want to encourage you, my friends, that we don't have to wait until we have that magical, awesome feeling of holiness and Holy Spirit goosebumps happening. I love those moments, but we don't have to wait for those moments in order to praise and worship and rejoice at who our God is. In the middle of our awareness of our sin, we can cry out to God and say, God, I know that I have sinned. I confess my sin. But I also confess that you are a great and awesome God who loves me so very much. And I will magnify you and make you famous in all of that. So my friends, I hope and pray that our prayers can include more and more and more worship and rejoicing at who God is. Amen? Let's do that now. Father, we bless your name. We recognize the limitlessness of your grace, that you can take all of our sins and wash them away with your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the boundless love that is in your heart for us, Lord, that even when we are broken and far from you, you approach us and say, it is well, because you are my dearly loved children. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you because of your love. We bless you for being a father to the fatherless. We bless you because you are the creator and the sustainer of this world. We thank you for all the ways that you have made it amazing and beautiful. Father, we thank you for the ways that you shower us with your affection, where you lavish us with your grace, as the book of Ephesians teaches us. Father, we thank you that there is no end to how great and good you are. So, Father, our request here today is, Lord, draw us deeper into who you are. Make us more aware of how great you are so we can worship you more. Open your word into our lives that we can see and learn things about you that we never knew before. And, Father, we just We just declare that you are infinite, that we will never reach the end of you. And we thank you that you've invited us into that journey to discover you, and that we'll never get it, we'll never get to the end. So Lord, we thank you just for how big you are. So Lord, in this time, we just worship your name. And Lord, we want to demonstrate to you what we believe you are worth. So Father, inhabit the praises of your people, as your word would say. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So my friends, it is well. Whatever's going on in our life, whatever good or bad or ugly thing is happening, it is well. Because our God reigns, amen? So would you stand with me as we worship and as we sing and remind ourselves of how great our God is.
Grandeur has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. From me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, through it all.
So let's go out with the joy of the Lord this morning. Amen. We dance in the darkness. We're singing in the shadows, man. Amen.
Though my tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness of death, in the shadows of sin, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, I'll take the rise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, I'll take the rise to you.
Those of you that are supporting First Priority, there's supposed to be a banquet on Tuesday. It has been postponed, just so that you know. But now, my friends, I want to send you out with this blessing. If there's anything I can pray with you about or for you about, if you have any questions, I'll be up in front. But in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be merciful unto you, and in all things, may he give you peace. Amen. Go in God's peace.